Well, looks like we give him the slip, Muggsy.
Yeah, Rocky, we sure did. I wish I was smart like you, boss.
Turn it on the radio.
Okay, boss.
This is the reality of trucking. It's the Trucker Ray Podcast. Coming to you from somewhere in North America. Here he is. Trucker Ray.
And hello, everybody. It is Trucker Ray. Welcome to episode number 2 of the Trucker Ray Podcast. And today, we happen to be actually right at this moment, I happen to be in Nogales. Well, actually, more of Rio Rico. I'm over here at the Loves in Rio Rico, Arizona. And it is a very pleasant day out here. I wouldn't say that it's a hot day out here, but it's nice. A lot better than some places that I've been driving through in the last couple days. And the only unfortunate thing is that right now, because we're doing this right from the sleeper, for those of you that are tuning in for the very first time, if you can hear that noise in the background, that's the guy next to me idling his truck because it's, I guess, not hot enough or not cool enough, but it's really actually nice outside. You could walk around outside with a shirt on. Well, obviously, you're going to walk around with a shirt on, but you get my drift, not a sweater. It's very, very nice out there. I don't see the need to be idling your truck. But, I guess people have a lot of money to spend. So, we do the podcast right out of the truck, right out of the sleeper. So, from time to time, it may get a little noisy on my end, and sometimes it's a little bit more quiet. And there's also some times where I'll have a noisy reefer behind me. But I try to get rid of that as much as possible, and I do apologize for that. But that is the luxury of doing the podcast on right out of the truck and at locations where you just never know where I'm going to be. But let me start with saying this. I am absolutely thrilled on the response we have had from the very first podcast. A lot of listeners on the YouTube channel. For those of you that are tuning in for the first time, we do have a YouTube channel where we share our experiences out on the highways. We have been for the last 13 years. We're kind of slowing down on that a little bit and putting more attention towards the podcast. But the response has been just wonderful. A lot of you have enjoyed what we had on the last podcast. It's only an hour, but it goes by quickly when you're having fun. So thank you so much. And if you do have questions regarding the podcast, or if you want to even provide us with some suggestions on what we can cover on the podcast, you will get an email a little bit later on, and you can send us directly your thoughts. And we're always open for that. But what do you say we start things off with an email? Let's do it.
Mailbag. Mailbag.
This email is from Jennifer out of Modesto, California. She writes this. Hello, Trucker Ray. I wanted to tell you that I really enjoyed your last podcast, especially the interview you did with the young lady, Jamie. I have been driving truck for 35 years as a single woman on the road, and she hit it right on the nose on a lot of points that she made. I have been through insane experiences, good and bad, but the Lord always keeps me safe out here. I have a few more years ahead of me before I retire, but I wanted to say that I still very much enjoy it. Yes, it does toughen you up while you're out here, but I'm still the wonderful, loving grandma that my grandchildren say that I am. They don't see that tough woman behind the wheel when I need to be when I'm out on the road. She laughs, ha ha. Always enjoyed your YouTube channel, and I'm really looking forward to these podcasts. Thank you for taking the time to read my email, and I hope you have a wonderful day. God bless, Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer. What a great email, and I'm sure Jamie will appreciate hearing that as well.
Trucker Ray.
How many of you have driven over a mountain pass just to have your ears pop? I know it can be very, very uncomfortable, and that's what happens when you drive up to the higher elevations. Very similar to the experience that you have when you're in an airplane at 30,000 feet. Now, there's a reason why I'm sharing this with you, because I read an article today that made me snicker. It made me laugh, and it reminded me of an incident that happened a long time ago when I was working for a trucking company at the very beginning of my career. Now, let's start with the article that I read earlier. It reads, a fleet owner operator needed to ship containers of whipping cream from one state to another, passing through the Rocky Mountains. Upon checking the provided route, he realized he could save some time by taking another route through the mountains. After arriving on the other side of the mountain, he decided to stop for a meal. He checked in the back only to find out that he had made one of the biggest mistakes of his life. It turned out that he took a high mountain pass and the pressure caused lids of the containers to pop off, covering the inside of the trailer completely with whipped cream. Now, I'd have to say that probably would have been really good if there were strawberries in there, but that is a bit of a disaster. And it reminds me of, as I was saying earlier, there's a story I'll share with you, and there's a moral behind this story, my friends, especially the new driver out there. I was working for a company right at the beginning of my career, as I said. This didn't happen to me. I promise you, this didn't happen to me. We used to pick up, with this company, we used to pick up Frito-Lay chips and bring them from Lethbridge to Vancouver. This gentleman, who I talk to regularly, was given a load to pick up Frito-Lay and take it to Vancouver. He decided to, there's two different ways you can go to Vancouver. You can either take Highway 1 out of Calgary, or you can take the Crow's Nest Pass, which is Highway 3, out of the Lethbridge area, and you can just keep going straight. There's a lot of mountain passes, several chain-up areas. The elevation is a lot higher in some areas. Well, I guess he wasn't thinking about the elevation. He decided to take that route with a trailer full of chips. By the time he got to Vancouver, I don't know if he checked the load, but definitely the receiver checked it, and it turned out that almost every single bag in that trailer had exploded. Because of the elevation, the air just caused the bags to pop. So this is a message to the newer drivers out there, or maybe even the veteran drivers that don't ever think about this. If you know you're bringing something over high mountain passes where it has the potential to break or pop, be very careful of that. Get further instruction from your dispatch. Now, this also reminds me of something I recently experienced, and it really annoyed me. For the longest time, it had me wondering, like, what's going on? I buy this cleaner. It's like a polish that you can get for the interior of your truck. It's called Mother's, and it smells wonderful, and it's really, really nice. It's a really nice product, a little on the expensive side. The only problem with that product is that the bottle that it comes in, the spray bottle that it comes in, is absolutely paper thin. It's cheap. It's Chinese garbage. So even if you bump that thing the wrong way, it'll crack. And it's really a shame because it's such a really good product. It's too bad they can't put a little bit of money into it. You know, considering how much they charge for that product, it's like $21 for a bottle. It's kind of ridiculous. Can't you put this in a bottle that's not going to crack when you look at it? So I would buy this stuff. I would put it in my jockey box and I would do a round trip and come back and find this stuff all over my jockey box. And this would happen several times until I really figured it out what was going on. That the bottle is actually filling up with air every time I hit a mountain pass, and it would just pop because the bottle was so cheap. So I had to go to Home Depot and buy myself one of those spray bottles that that you can buy, the more heavy-duty ones. So let me recommend to you, if you're going to buy any kind of polish or spray for the interior of your truck, if it's a Mother's product, don't expect that container to last very long for you. Just get another container, something from Home Depot, and dump that stuff into the new one there and save yourself some grief. Because I think I went through at least 2 or 3 bottles before I finally figured out what was going on. But it was a bit frustrating, but I learned something and I just thought I'd pass it on to you.
Rant or rave? Rant or rave?
Well, I got a rant for you guys that I've been wanting to rant about for a long time on my YouTube channel, just haven't got around to doing it. But now is the time. Has anybody else noticed how they've been jacking up the price on DEF, diesel exhaust fluid. For those of you that do not know what DEF is, it is a additive that is kind of mixed with your fuel, which stops it from burning and stinking up the neighborhood. That's about as best as I can say it. I'm not a chemist. I can't tell you everything about it. I can't tell you all the ingredients, but I do know one thing, that it's basically 80% water, 20% urea. That's right, urea. I think it's cow pee. I can't be exact, but yeah, so you're paying a whole lot for a lot of little. And the problem with this is it's actually higher price than the diesel. Now, with diesel, there is a process involved. There's refining, there's delivery, there's just a lot of charges with this. But for DEF, water and urea, how hard can that be to make? I bet you can make that in the back of a truck stop with no problem. Why are we, like, here's an example here, okay? I'm out here in Rio Rico. And I'm not going to say where I'm looking at this price because I don't want to slam any particular truck stop. But I'm looking at a fuel price right now where it is $4.059 for the diesel. So $4.059 for the diesel. But for the DEF, it's $4.199. This is all over the country. Some places you're going to find the DEF a little bit cheaper. So I'm still looking on this app. So let's go take a look at a few other places. Let's look at Tanopa here. There is a fueling stop there. $4.199 for diesel, $4.299 for the DEF. So you're paying even more for there. Again, can someone please explain this to me? This is annoying. I am not an owner-operator, so I'm not paying for these expenses for the fuel and the DEF. But I am, I guess, a bit outraged for the company that I work for that they have to pay this. This is a scam anyway. Do you guys remember when all the prices went through the roof? And the DEF at one time, I think it was like $1.99 for a gallon. And that was, that was okay. I mean, sure, you got to make the stuff, you got to ship it, I understand that. But now it's more than the diesel? This is stupid. So let's go to Las Vegas here and see what a fueling stop charges over there. Okay, this is a little bit better. $4.339 for diesel, and it's $4.299 for the DEF, which is still ridiculously high. I don't think it should ever be that high. Let's look at somewhere else in the country, okay? Let's take a look in, say, West Virginia. Let's go all the way to West Virginia. The diesel is $4.199. The DEF is $4.159, so it's a little bit lower. All right. Shell, we're going to check a couple more. Let's go to Brooks, Oregon, all right? $3.899 for diesel for a gallon. $3.999. Again, the DEF is higher. I just don't get this. I'm going to do one more. Let's go right into Houston, Texas. This is actually kind of funny. The diesel is $3.699 per gallon, and the DEF is $4.199. It's higher. Now, again, maybe somebody out there can explain this to me. Is the diesel exhaust fluid being refined on the moon? Is it being refined somewhere where you have to pay outrageous prices to get it shipped to planet Earth? To me, I still think the diesel exhaust fluid thing is a complete scam, but that's just me. And that is my rant for the week.
It's the Trucker Ray Podcast.
For those of you that have been following me on my YouTube channel, specifically following my carnivore situation, I did start a carnivore diet, I think it was like October of last year. And I had very good intentions to lose the weight. I was at 245 pounds. and dropped, was down to 227, did very well. As soon as the holidays rolled around, I told myself, I'm going to take a bit of a break so I can enjoy a little bit of mashed potatoes. I can enjoy maybe some eggnog, like the stuff you buy in the store. Very good stuff. I love eggnog, but incredibly fattening. And, well, just, you know, some Christmas cake and a few other little things. Oh, friends, I had no idea it was going to be so hard to get back on it. I'm being totally 100% honest with you. For those of you that have been following it, those of you that have been wanting to get into it and you wanted to see, well, let's see how it works out for me, and then maybe you'll get into it, because I have received emails like that. Well, let's just see what happens with him, and if it works for him, it might work for me. Well, let me tell you something. It does work. I lost the weight, and I was feeling a lot better, and I'll give you an example. I started off for, I think I was on the carnivore diet for 2 months, and then, as I was saying, during the holidays, just maybe a week before Christmas, I decided to go off the carnivore diet so I can enjoy all those foods or whatever. And then my intentions were to go back on my carnivore diet around just after maybe Boxing Day. Well, it didn't work out that way, because I'll tell you something right now. It is so much harder to get back on that diet once you've been on it. I don't know why, but it's so hard for me. I mean, look what the date is now, okay? I have finally, like, today is my official day going back on it, and I've been struggling that much to go back on it because I still get the cravings, and one of my biggest cravings is ice cream. I love ice cream, and I struggle with that. So, but you know what it all comes down to? It all comes down to discipline and just say, you know what? I'm tired of this. I've actually gained the weight back. I'm like, I don't believe this. How could I have gained the weight back? I don't even see it, but apparently the scale says I have. But I'll tell you something. When I was, you don't notice this now, but I'm glad I did what I did. I'm glad I went off the diet when I did, because it really showed me something. Before I went on my carnivore diet, I found myself tired during the day. Even though I was getting somewhat good sleep, I was still tired during the day. I found myself doing a lot of yawning. And it was very annoying, and sometimes having to chew gum just to keep my senses alert. And I know that's crazy, and it's just, that's what was going on with me. I didn't have a whole lot of energy. But when I went on the carnivore diet, now that I think about it, and the reason why I'm thinking about it now is because I'm getting, like since Christmas, since I've been off the carnivore diet, I've been doing the same thing. I've been yawning every day and tired and yawning and tired. I'm like, wait a minute here. If I can think back when I was on the carnivore diet for 2 months, I never had those issues. I wasn't yawning. I wasn't tired. I had a ton of energy. And it just goes to show, when you're eating those sugars and those carbs, some people might say that the sugar and the carbohydrates will give you energy. Well, that's not true. As a matter of fact, I find that it drains you. It gives you a sugar high for a certain amount of time, and then you crash the rest of the day, and you're yawning, and you're yawning, and you're yawning, and I'm like, this is getting frustrating. So I've noticed that. So before the carnivore diet, I was really tired all the time. I was yawning. When I went off of it, I went on it, rather. Did I say that right? When I was off of it, I was tired and yawning. When I went on it for 2 months, I was great. I had lots of energy. And then during the holiday season, back at it again, and now I'm dealing with it again. The other day, I'm like, I can't believe this. I'm yawning constantly. How much sleep did I have? I had a good 7 solid hours. Why am I yawning like this? Until it finally clicked in, it's the diet you're on. So the reason why I'm telling you this, I am going back on the carnivore diet. Now, today is my first day of going back on it. I don't care what the cravings are like. I don't care what I'm feeling like. I'm not touching any more ice cream, any more sugar, any more carbs, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I might, tomorrow morning, I'm meeting with my good buddy, Trucker Glenn. We're going to sit down and have breakfast. I might have a piece of rye toast with my meal, with my breakfast. But as for sugars and carbs and everything, I'm not having any of that. And I'm going to touch base with you guys, or should I say, give you an update, and maybe in a couple weeks, to let you know whether or not I'm still having issues with yawning and being tired. And if I'm not, well, the rest is very self-explanatory. So I wanted to give you that update on what's going on, because I'm sure some of you are wondering, well, what's going on with this guy's carnivore diet? He hasn't said nothing. There's been no updates on his YouTube channel. Just been struggling with it. I'm not afraid to admit that. And the reason why I'm also talking about this, I received an email from John. I hope John doesn't mind me reading his email. He says, "Hi, Ray. Congratulations on your very first podcast. It's so refreshing to hear a podcast from a Christian trucker. I've watched all your videos from the start, and you have helped me in my journey to become a trucker here in the UK. Although I would love to drive in North America. I was wondering what advice you would give your listeners about how to stay healthy on the road. Personally, I have been on the light version of the carnivore diet. For example, meat, eggs, cream, butter. Any tips on your carnivore journey? Good luck on your journey of podcasts, mate. God bless, John." Thank you, John. Well, one basic thing I can share with you, John, don't go off of it. If you're on it, stay on it. Stay on it. Don't be fooled by these, "Oh, there's a holiday coming up, I think I'll celebrate." Forget it. Stay on it. It's just not worth coming off of it, because you really do notice a difference in how you feel. To me, it wasn't even so much how I felt physically. You know what? There was times where I felt like, boy, I feel just drained. I feel not just tired and yawning, but just not 100%. I just not feeling very good. I even felt a couple times that I felt maybe I was coming down with a cold or a flu, and then that went away. And it's just not my best. And I'm telling you something. When you've experienced the carnivore diet, even for 2 months, you really notice it when you come off of it, like, wow. So I'm glad that happened to me, because it really did open my eyes. Now, John, you say that you are on meat, eggs, cream, butter. The tips, I'll tell you what I did, John. It can be a little bit on the expensive side for some. If you don't have a decent income coming in, I think the carnivore diet can be very difficult for some people. You know what it all comes down to is just meat. Stay away from the sugar. Stay absolutely away from the sugar. Stay away from the carbs, because the carbs turn into sugar anyway. And just stick to meat if you can. And this is what I did. I would go to Costco, and which is a major distribution food warehouse out here in North America, where you can pretty well buy everything in bulk. I would buy several steaks, hamburger, if you're driving a truck and you're not, well, how am I supposed to do that while I'm in the road? Well, I also got a freezer in my truck. And with this freezer that I have, you can get them online. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them at some of these other hardware stores, surplus stores like out here. I think I got mine at Princess Auto, and you can get them at Canadian Tire. I don't know the major stores that you can get anything in the UK, but they're like a double zone freezer. You can turn one half of it into a fridge, half of it into a freezer, or you can have both sides into a freezer. And that's what I did. I would not be able to do this carnivore thing if I did not have a freezer in my truck. The fridges in these trucks are so tiny, you can barely fit, and I know you laugh at this, you can barely fit a brick of ice cream in the freezer itself. So all I use my freezer for is for my utensils. So when I'm done using my knives and forks, I'll wash them and I'll stick them in the little freezer in that comes with the truck, basically to sterilize my silverware. Excuse me. But I don't use it for anything else, because you can't fit nothing else in there. So that's why I've got the freezer that I do. So I'll go to Costco, I would buy steak, hamburger, barbecue chicken. Like, a lot of the time, like at Costco, you can buy the pre-cooked barbecue chicken. They've been cooked on the rotisserie, and I'll buy like 3 or 4 of those. Let them cool down, of course, in the truck, and then once they're cooled down, stick them in the freezer. So any kind of meat. I try to stay away from the pork, because now they're putting the mRNA into the pork now, into the U.S., so I don't want any of that. So pork is going to be out of my diet, like completely, 100% gone out of my life. I'm not going to deal with that anymore, now that I know what they're putting into the pigs. They're injecting them with this stuff. And some of you might say, "Oh, that's a conspiracy theory." No, it's not. Go look it up. You'll find it on there. They're very, very public about it. So I like to stick to any chicken, beef, fish. And you might want to also make sure you have a really good inverter in your truck if you have an option. Maybe you go home every day, John. I don't know. Maybe you Maybe you're not on the highway constantly. Do a lot of food prep at home. I get ground hamburger when I have the chance, and I'll cook a whole bunch of it up and put it in Ziploc bags. And I might even crack a couple eggs in there. And then when you're on the road, you can just stick them in, you know, your microwave or whatnot, whatever you have in your truck. So meal prep is really, really important. But I think a lot of it comes down to just having the right stuff in your truck. Like I have a cooker in my truck that it's like a skillet that you make pancakes with, and I can throw hamburger on there. I can throw my steak in there. I can throw anything in there. And also I buy pepperoni sticks that do not need to be refrigerated, and I nibble on those during the day. I also have sardines, plenty of cans of sardines. I have cans of flaked fish and tuna, and I don't eat a lot of tuna because there's a lot of mercury in that, because of that fish is apparently the tuna. I'm trying to remember here. The tuna does have a lot of mercury in it. I do know that. So it's maybe they're, because they're closer to the ocean floor when they fish around, or fish around, float around, or whatever it is. I'm not entirely sure. But tuna is okay, but I wouldn't overdo it with that. But the sardines I do like. So more or less, John, so without going on and on and on about this, food prep is really important. Making sure also that you're eating enough protein. If you're not eating enough, some might say, oh, I'm going on the carnivore diet, I'm going to have these tiny little meals, and I'm going to have two meals a day. If you're not eating enough, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good, because your body needs that energy to burn the fat that's on your body. So make sure you eat to the point where you're satisfied. That's what they say. That's what the doctors say for carnivore. Make sure you eat to the point where you're satisfied. No more. I mean, if you're feeling stuffed, oh, I got to get this extra piece of steak in there, just put it in a Ziploc bag and put it in your fridge and save it for later. So, but I will say this. You also need to make sure you have your electrolytes. You need your a magnesium. And I know a lot of electrolytes come with that. Like, what do I have here? I have, obviously you guys can't see this. What do I use for electrolytes? I use something called Aussie Trace Minerals, ocean sourced Aussie Trace Minerals. It's got 70 different, it's got 70 different minerals in here, and it's actually very nice. It almost tastes like when you put a few drops of that, you put about 5 drops in a bottle of water, and it kind of tastes like Gatorade. It gives you a little bit of a salty flavor, because when you're on this diet, you're going to be using the bathroom a lot. You're going to be dropping a lot of water weight. You're going to be losing a lot of water. You're going to be losing a lot of salt, a lot of minerals in your system. You need to replenish it every day with this. So I was told by an expert that if I put 5 drops of this in a water bottle per day, that'll keep my electrolytes at a normal level. So, and I could go on and on and on about this, but anyway, John, I do hope that helps, and anyone else that was listening, I hope that helps you as well. And I'll keep you updated on my carnivore diet, and if my energy levels have returned. I'm pretty sure they will, but I'll let you know. Well, my friends, right in the middle of making a phone call to my next guest, I received a phone call from one of these Amazon scammers. No, they're not from Amazon. They claim to be from Amazon. And I'm like, oh, I got to take advantage of this. And the funny thing is, if any of these guys had any kind of North American culture, they would know that the name that I said belonged to me was definitely not mine. It just goes to show you that they're in another country somewhere.
Thank you for calling Amazon customer service. This is Stanley speaking. How can I assist you?
Hi, I just received a phone call here. I'm not entirely sure what it's about, but apparently something about an order.
Okay, yeah. So, could you please confirm your first name and your last name so that I can go ahead and check out my database?
Roger Daltrey.
Okay, just give me a moment. I'm just going to go ahead and check out my database, all right, sir?
Mm-hmm. So here's the trick with these scams. You just give them a really popular name and they come back, yep, that's the guy who you are. And then you know they're definitely scamming you. All right, let's wait for him to come back.
Okay, so I've just checked at my database and I've got an update saying an iPhone 14 has been purchased under your Amazon account. Well, it's worth $999. So I would like to know, are you the legit person who's made this order or not, sir?
Oh, I did not make that order, no, because I actually have a newer iPhone, so I wouldn't need that.
All right. So, sir, what we need to do is, sir, we need to stop this fraudulent shipment as soon as possible, right?
Okay.
So, in order to stop this fraudulent shipment, what we're going to do is, sir, we're just going to go ahead and send you the cancellation, treaty cancellation form throughout our secure server, right?
Right.
So, in order to do that, like, you need to, like, put me on loudspeaker on your cell phone.
I already have you on the speaker.
Okay, on your app store, sir, on the right hand side bottom corner, do you see there's a magnifying glass?
Right.
On the very right hand side, yes. Give a click on that. Once you give a click on that, you'll see there will be an option at the top here where you can type something, where you can search something. So what you need to type in there, sir, you need to type in the A as an Apple, N as a Nancy, and Y as a Yankee.
Let me guess, any desk, right?
Yes, any desk. And sir, give a click on search, and you'll get an option that says any desk or more desktop, all right?
Okay, so what is this going to do? All right, friends, I'm going to just put him down in the background a little bit and share with you what the scam is these guys will call you up and say, hey, someone's used your Amazon account to buy an iPhone. We need you to download this application that allows you to share your phone with me. And then they get into your phone, they steal all your credit card information because a lot of people have their credit cards on their phone, and that's the scam. So let's go back to this clown. Doesn't this application give you access to my phone?
Well, sir, I'm just on the phone guiding you what do you exactly have to do, all right? So the thing is, sir, this is our AI security robotic server. So we are not authorized to take any access of yours, okay? So this is our AI robotic server, all right, sir?
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, it looks like this is a program that gives you remote access to people's phones, right? So I don't know if I feel comfortable about that because I don't really know if you're from Amazon or not.
But, sir, yes, sir. The thing is, sir, I'm going to request my security server, okay, to send you a security request.
Okay. Well, I'm going to save you a lot of trouble. Okay. I'm going to save you a lot. Okay, go ahead. I was going to say I'm going to save you a lot of trouble.
Sir, what?
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you won't let me talk, go ahead.
Sir, what I was trying to say is the 9-digit number, which is going to help you to connect throughout our AI server, okay?
Mm-hmm. So what exactly is the process of canceling it? I mean, if you guys are with Amazon, can't you just cancel it if I didn't order it? I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know how well that's...
Sir, you just won't let me say anything. Sir,
Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll let you do all the talking because I'm trying to explain something to you.
Okay. Explain something to me then.
Okay. I will explain something to you. You're wasting your time because I don't have an Amazon account and I know this is a scam. So feel free to hang
but
up.
Sir, someone has told you personal...
No, I don't have an Amazon account. So how the heck can someone order something in my name if I don't have an account?
Sir, someone has stolen your personal information and they are the one who has placed an order from Dayton, Ohio.
And they have my name, Roger Daltrey, on there? That's my name?
Yes, sir. So, okay. So, sir. So you think this is all hoax, right?
Well, I think it's a scam because I don't have an Amazon account.
Okay. So, sir, if any of your amount was debited from your account within this 24 hours, then we'll not be responsible for that. Is that okay with you?
Not a problem. I'll take full responsibility.
No. All right. Then have a nice day.
You too. I don't even have an Amazon account, guys. I don't. That Amazon account that whatever I order through, I go through my daughter. And guess what? My name isn't Roger Daltrey, but what a great singer he is.
After the fire, the fire still burns. The heart grows older, but never ever learns.
Yeah, the poor putty tat fought them.
This is the reality of trucking. It's the Trucker Ray Podcast.
Well, friends, on the last broadcast, I told you that I wanted to touch base and check in with some of the female truck drivers out there because I think it's important for, I mean, today's world involves not only the male truck driver, but also the female truck drivers. And last time you heard from, I was talking with Jamie this week, I decided I wanted to touch base with another gal who I actually work with, a really nice gal. She's been in trucking for a long time, lots of experience, and I'm sure she has a lot to share that could really benefit and help another younger female driver coming into this industry who might be a little bit intimidated. Plus, she also has one heck of a sense of humor. Hello, Marika. How you doing, my dear?
Hello, Ray. I'm doing very fine. Thank you.
And where are you today?
I am just north of Lodi on the I-5 in California.
Well, I'm glad you said that right, because you know what I used to call that? I used to call it Lodi until someone corrected me.
We tend to do that as drivers, you know, mispronounce different cities and towns, but
yeah.
We learn eventually.
Yeah, exactly. So has this been a good trip for you? Has everything been good, or has it been a bit of a...
It's been wonderful.
Oh, really? Are you being sarcastic?
No. It's the type of trips that I like. It's slow and easy and steady.
Yeah.
And a break here and there, which I like, because, you know, you get to relax and recoup. Yeah.
So first of all, maybe you can just share a little bit about yourself. How long you've been truck driving? And let's just start with that. How long you've been driving?
This time around, when I came back to trucking, it's been at least 15 years now.
Yeah. What about in total?
Yeah. Well, I started driving truck in 1977, and it was just an experiment. I thought I'd go out with my father. And then I just got hooked. I loved it and drove for a few years with him. And I was kind of under tutelage with my father, and he was pretty strict. And I learned the ropes. And then, of course, I faded away from it and was married, had children, divorced, and went back to it. Yes, 15 years ago.
What made you come back to it? Did you miss it?
No, it was totally a fluke. I live in an apartment building, a high rise, and I was doing my laundry in the laundry room, and there was a gentleman that came in here. He's the assistant manager at that time, and he asked me, well, what do you do? And I was explaining, you know, that I do office work and so forth, and I asked him, what do you do? And he says, well, I'm a truck driver. And I says, oh, I know all about that. He goes, what do you mean? And I says, well, back in the day, you know, I did this and that. And he was really intrigued. He says, are you considering going back to it? I says, heck no. Never thought of that. And he says, well, you should give it a try. Why don't you come out on a run with me? And I went up to Prince George and back. We were taking a load for Canada Bread at that time, and we had multiple deliveries to do. And he needed an assistant, so to speak. So I thought, okay, I'll do that. And that was it. I was hooked again.
So that was the 97, right?
The 97?
Yeah, that's the 97 you took up to Prince George?
Well, that would be the Yellowhead, would it? No, the Yellowhead is Edmonton, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a beautiful route.
It is, but not so much in the winter. It
no.
can be pretty crazy in the wintertime.
Not with a light load like bread. That doesn't help.
I know. Yes. And we never really had a full load. We had just sporadic deliveries of, you know, 2-3 pallets or so. And then all the way up to Prince George. And then we'd bring out whatever back, whatever cargo we could get or the boss could get. Yes.
Yeah. How long did it take for you to draw, like when during the time when you started driving, how long did it take for you to realize, hey, you know, this is something I really like? Because you kind of figure that out within a few months, whether this is for you or not. Am I correct?
Yes. Right away, it's interesting for especially a woman, because it's a huge endeavor.
Hmm.
It's there's a lot involved in trucking, and the first few times you're out, you don't really realize all that. You're so new to it, and you're so excited. You're like, oh, this is so cool. I could do this, you know. Not necessarily. There's a lot more to trucking than just driving the truck. Actually, that's probably the least amount of work is driving the truck.
Yeah.
There's so much more. The logistics involved, the timing involved, you know, that sort of thing.
You know what? When I would watch movies like, you know, the ones like Smokey and the Bandit, and you'd see Convoy, to me, it just seemed to come across as more romantic back then. You know,
Am I
accurate on that? I mean, or is it really changed now?
Well, I think it was probably more romantic for women because, you know, they saw this big, strong guy and he was out there with this big vehicle and he was doing his thing and it was kind of attractive.
Hmm.
Until you realize really what's all involved.
It was a lot more fun back then. There was brotherhood and sisterhood out there, and
absolutely,
you know, they would meet up in truck stops at cafes, and they would sit down. Nowadays, there's no communication. Everyone's stuck on their stupid phone.
Well, not only the phone, but a lot of them are on the CBs, which is very restrictive because, you know, the range you have on a CB radio is like
nothing.
100 feet now.
Yeah.
Nothing. So we always had the big VHF radios in Canada.
Yeah.
And we were able to communicate that way. Cell phones really, you know, weren't in the picture at that point. My father had one of those big gray bricks, you know, that we call them the gray brick from the old days where the cell phone first started.
Oh.
Yeah. But, no, we had wonderful meals at the truck stops and wonderful conversations. And, you know, my father knew everyone on the road because he'd been doing it for quite some time. And it was quite interesting for me. It was kind of a family brotherhood sort of atmosphere.
I can assume that you'd learned a lot from you. How long was your father a driver?
Oh, my goodness. I think he started back in Europe during the Second World War.
Really? Wow. So he drove in Europe and then he came over with the wife?
Yes, but it wasn't the big rigs on the highway like we have now.
Yeah.
He was on a big farm. He grew up on a farm and was usually driving the bigger vehicles on the farm. Yeah.
Right.
And then after the war, they immigrated to Canada. And, of course, there wasn't an awful lot of work back then. It was in the early 60s. No, sorry, early 50s. I'm sorry, early 50s when they immigrated. And there wasn't an awful lot of work there at that time. So he landed up driving big dump trucks in rock quarries and so forth.
Right. What is the difference now from when you were driving solo compared to now compared to then? The last guest I had, she said that, you know, there's times where she was really belittled as a lady because a lot of men are intimidated by a woman being on the road and they say the nastiest things. So you seem to have a tough skin. You seem to have a tough skin. So I don't think you would put up with that. But no. I was curious on, was it a better out there for women back then than it is now, or is it the same?
Back then, it was a curiosity. Drivers would look and say, oh, well, that's different. And they didn't really understand. They didn't assume that it would be continuous. They didn't realize that women were coming into the industry and staying in the industry.
Hmm.
They kind of looked at you and go, oh, yeah, she'll be finished in a month because she's not tough enough to take it.
Especially you. You're so tiny.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm short. I'll give you that.
Yeah, you're tiny, yeah.
You know, and we ran flat decks back then, so it was a lot of tarping and strapping, which physically is really a difficult thing to do for small people.
Yeah.
Because the straps are long and they're heavy, and you have to throw them way over top of your load. And then, of course, you know, tarping can be a little bit of an interesting endeavor. especially if it's windy or if it's icy. And,
yeah,
you know, it's, yeah.
What advice would you give to a young lady or even middle age or even any woman coming into the industry? What advice would you give her? What would you tell her to expect?
To expect the unexpected.
Okay.
Never be surprised at what comes at you, whether it's weather or the dispatch that you get where you're going to go, because you could go to the city next door or you could go down to Miami, Florida. You have to be ready to go anywhere at any time. You have to be prepared for bad weather as well as good weather. So you're bringing along an awful lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Almost like going camping for weeks on end. That's basically what we're doing, is camping in the trucks. And you have to be prepared. And yes, you can buy certain things on the road, but you've got a 70-foot vehicle that can't just park in the neighborhood, you know, store. You have to have parking when you stop and buy groceries.
Yeah.
And that's another consideration.
What about safety?
Safety is an issue, and there's many different ways to keep yourself safe. You know, I always kept a low profile. I never really walked around an awful lot when I was back then, before I got my dog. I stayed within my truck. I stayed in the back. You know, I stayed a very low profile because, again, I didn't really know what to expect. Because I drove both Canada and the U.S., and it was a little bit intimidating. And certain cities, you hear a lot of horrendous stories about, oh, you just shouldn't go there and you shouldn't do this. Well, if you're dispatched to go there, you go there.
Yeah.
Because that's what drivers do. And you just keep a low profile and, you know, stay away from the truck stops where there's alcohol served, you
yeah.
know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, I think the biggest and the hardest thing to get used to as a driver is the continuous changing of climates.
Hmm.
You know, like now I drive from Canada down to, into Mexico.
Yep.
So I can go through the first couple of days through a blizzard. And then it starts to warm up, but it's still a little bit icy. And then all of a sudden you're in the desert and you're in, you know, 80, 90 degree weather. And it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
Because now you have to prepare for every climate.
Yeah. And then on the way back, you're back into it again. So.
Yes. It's the reverse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But the nice thing about the route, which I can, you know, I can say as well, because we both drive that same route, is you may end up in a little bit of snow, but you know the sun's coming.
Yes. Yes. You just have to keep going 1 mile at a time. And
yeah.
Pray that sunshine will be sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Yes.
I agree. Well, Marijke, time is up here, but I just wanted to say thank you so much. Really wanted your perspective because I know you've got plenty of experience out here. And from what I've seen and observed, you know what you're doing when it comes to driving that truck. So, again,
yes.
I'd love to have you on again sometime if you'd be up to that.
Absolutely. Can I finish this interview with a word out there for the ladies?
Sure.
Do it. Just do it. Don't hesitate. Don't be afraid. It is the most rewarding thing you will ever do in your lifetime, because if you can conquer trucking in North America, you can conquer anything. Trust me. Okay?
Excellent.
You go, girls.
Thank you, Marijke. I really appreciate you taking
welcome.
The time to talk with me.
You're very welcome.
Trucker Ray.
All right, you know what time it is.
With over 50 years of accident-free, long-haul experience under his belt, an extra 20 pounds. This is Trucker's Corner with Trucker Glenn.
Hey there, Glenn, my friend. How are you today? I'm glad you're here because, you know, I needed a friend to talk to because I'm feeling a little lonely and a little depressed. Can you help me, buddy?
Well, I'm hoping that I can. I came across a subject that affects every driver on the road. Doesn't matter if you've been out there for 50 years or only a year, going over the highway or over the road, we call it.
Hmm.
And is loneliness and depression.
Right.
And I started to do a little research on it. I couldn't find anything.
Wow.
And I thought, well, that's really strange. So the more I dug, the crazier it got. And I finally found a couple of articles, but there wasn't very much on it. And I think it's a really important topic to talk about because you do a lot of crazy things when you're alone or you're depressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we have to know is that our truck, the cab of our truck, is not only our workplace, it's our home.
Right.
And in some cases, you know, drivers spend more time in the cab than they do at home. I've gone through this myself where I've been so depressed that I'm thinking, man, I didn't even want to wake up in the morning and drive the truck.
Huh.
One of the biggest things I know in my career was when they tried to force dispatch me.
Hmm.
And, you know, you're coming in off the road and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to have, my 36 off or 2 or 3 days off. And guess what? There's a surprise dispatch for you. They turn you around. And if it happens too many times, I think depression sets in really easy because you don't know your schedule. You don't know what you're doing. Everybody's mad at you because you promised to be home and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that a real problem. It takes a toll on your mental health. And, you know, it's bad enough when you're out here I think some companies I was looking, they want you out there for 21 days before you come back home.
Yeah.
I can see it on their end because they got equipment to pay for and loads to haul. But it's just really hard if you don't have some little tidbits. It's hard on marriages. I found statistics that 64% of guys that are on the road have been divorced, or they're single, or
yeah,
they're widowed, but mostly divorced. Like, and that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're dealing with, you and me aren't going to be able to fix this, but I just like some of the guys to recognize that it isn't just them. It happens to a lot of us. And sometimes you got to go get professional help, of course. But I think the main thing is you've got to stay in touch with your friends. You've got to listen to shows like this.
Get it's like have a support system.
Yeah, have a support system. That's right. I even read in one of those little articles, you know, to stop from being lonely, sit down with somebody in the truck stop and just start picking up a conversation and talking to them for an hour or so while you're having your dinner. I never did it because I always had bad situations happen when I did that. I want to be your friend. I don't want a friend. I just want to eat my dinner.
That's right. Not helping the situation there, Glenn, no. But you know
it's
very true. You can see that demeanor in a lot of drivers. Just when there's a lot of times I'll go into a truck stop, I'll open the door for someone and they just don't smile. They don't do anything. And I don't respond to that because I know that it can be lonely on the road, especially if you have family and you want to be home. And other people like myself, I don't mind being out there because I don't have that responsibility at home. So, hey, you might as well. But it can be really tough, especially if you have a family.
Yeah, that's right. And here's another statistics that loneliness, I guess not just in truck driving, but loneliness as a whole can lead to substance abuse, you know, alcohol or drugs or whatever. I mean, how many times have you seen drivers getting into truck with a case of beer or 26 of whiskey or whatever? And
conveniently, all the truck stops sell all of that. I mean, they make it so easy for the driver. And you see the empty cans and bottles all over the parking lot. You do. You see it.
Another statistic I found that I was really surprised at is truck driving depression and loneliness is a much higher rate than a lot of other occupations. They didn't list any, but they said the percentages were way up there. And I think it's it's because you're alone all the time, right? Yeah, it also helps if you got a pet. You know, you can bring your. I saw a girl in truck stop. She had a pet pig.
Wow.
If you can believe that, it was a cute little thing. I said, I was almost afraid to ask to look at her truck, but I said, "Is that thing very clean?" And she said, "You wouldn't believe it. It's cleaner than a dog or a cat." And it was a cute little thing. I was surprised, but it does help to you know, at least you got somebody to talk to, even though they can't talk back to you. But
I think a lot of truck drivers out there have animals. Like, I've seen them, obviously, with cats. And I don't know if I've ever seen a pig, but I've seen cats and dogs. And obviously, a lot of drivers have these animals for companionship. And it does curb, you know, the loneliness.
Yeah. Another really big thing is, especially in our profession, is unexpected layovers. And I'll give you an example. I was working for a trucking company out of Alberta. And I was sent up to Red Deer to get a load of, I think it was a load of pork out of Red Deer. And I said, "Have you got the pickup number for you? You don't need it. Just go there." And this was on a long weekend, right? So I go there and my load's not ready. And I said, "Well, will it be ready tomorrow?" And they said, "No, it'll be ready Monday night." So there's four days I had to sit there, and I couldn't tell you how depressed I was, because you know what Red Deer is like. There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And I was upset because of the communication between the dispatcher and me. Now, he just wants to get the truck there to take the load, and he doesn't care about anything else because he's going home at 5 o'clock at night, right?
Yeah.
So another instance I had, I went out to Edmonton. They laid me over for 40 hours, sent me back home, sent me back to Edmonton. And guess what? Another 40 hours. And I said, "Well, this is how this is going to play out. I either get a load, an empty, or I bobtail home."
Yeah.
So they said, "Well, bobtail home." that was kind of fun. But there's so many things, like, and once you're depressed, it doesn't take much to get you, you know, going. Like, your safety and your, you know, you don't drive as well as when you're in a good frame.
And you don't eat as well either.
You don't eat as well. And it's really, you know, everybody can say, "Well, just stay positive, you know, that's everything will work out." But it's so difficult to stay positive when nobody else cares. And that's what it seems like. You've promised your family you're going to be home for a wedding or an anniversary or a birthday, or, and you think, "Yep, I'm going to make it. I'll have a day to the good." And all of a sudden, your dispatch gets switched around, and you're instead of going west, you're going south.
Yeah.
I've
had that happen plenty of times too, yeah.
It was a lot worse in my day. Nowadays, because of the driver pool, they don't have much that they can choose from. So they pretty well have to, you know, I mean, it still does happen, but not as often, because they don't want guys to leave. They want them to be happy, so they promise them a good home life. But I always get a kick out of these driving companies. They say, "Yes, you'll earn $600,000 a year."
Yeah.
Yeah. When you're rolling, you might, but they don't tell you about the sitting times. And so this is when it's good to listen to programs like this, or to have a buddy you can call, or of course, talk to your family as well, or one of these articles even said, get a hobby. I don't know what kind of hobby you could have in a truck, but
painting, whatever. Yeah. Video, like camera photography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, it also doesn't help when, especially in Canada, you know what our truck stops are like.
Yeah. Oh, they're depressing in itself.
I went into a truck stop in Saskatoon one time, and I come back out. My wife was with me on that trip, and I said, "We don't have hip waders. We can't go on these showers." They were so filthy. I couldn't believe it. So you end up, you know, you're going maybe a week to before you get a shower, and you can't waste too much time, because a lot of times, if you don't get your load off by Friday, you're sitting for the weekend, and again, your depression sets in. So
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was going to ask you, I mean, would you also agree with me that to stay away from these negative people? There's lots of negative people within the companies we work for, and that really can bring you down.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's all to do with being a professional, you know, and the guys that are negative, you don't have to go look them over too far to see that that they're not a professional, the way they look, the way they talk, the way they keep their truck, the way they drive their truck. And if, especially the young people starting out, if you're going to do this for a living for the rest of your lives, you got to start off on the right foot, and, you know, then everything becomes second nature to you. You don't have to try anymore, really.
Okay.
But depression, I know I've been there myself, and it's not fun. It's I remember I was so depressed. My dad died. I didn't cry when my dad died, but a year later I was so depressed. I had to pull the truck over or find a place to stop, because I was just so out of it. And it's just all the things building up, all the pressures, the traffic, dispatchers want you.
This catches up with you.
It catches up. And I suggest that some of the drivers, if it's really bad, you know, you got to get professional help. And there's nothing wrong with going to a counselor or somebody professional that can help you out. Even the younger guys can go to the older drivers and say, how do you handle this?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, Glenn, we got 30 seconds there. What would you like to wrap it up with?
Well, you know, I can say, let's stay positive, guys. Let's, it only makes it worse when you get upset and angry, and usually bad stuff happens, like accidents and that. So it's not a bad thing to go to a counselor if you're depressed and lonely. And sometimes it might even help if you switch professions.
All right. Solid advice as usual, my friend. Well, thank you again for another incredible edition of Trucker's Corner. Thank you, Glenn. Well, my friends, there you have it. It is a wrap. A special thank you for Marika for joining me earlier on the broadcast, as well as my regular buddy there, Trucker Glenn. Until we do this again next time, bye for now.
You've been listening to the Trucker Ray Podcast. To contact Trucker Ray, send him an email to truckerray7@gmail.com. That's truckerray, the number 7, @gmail.com. You can also check out his YouTube channel. Open YouTube in your browser and search Trucker Ray. It's that simple. Until next time, be safe out there.